Welcome to Inclusion Catalyst with your hosts, Mickey Desai and Susan Cooper. We invite diversity leaders to the table to deconstruct complex social justice issues and showcase the best inclusion practices in our workplaces and our communities.
So hello out there. This is Mickey Desai, one of your hosts for this episode of the Inclusion Catalyst. I have with me on the line Susan Cooper. Susan, are you there?
Yes. Hello, everyone.
This is a return engagement. We're happy to be speaking again with Ed Reed of Fair Count and Lauren. Lauren, what is your last name?
My last name is Zayu.
Zayu. And what do you do with Fair Count?
I'm Director of Communications.
Excellent. Thanks to you both for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Let's just jump right in. How is it going since the start of your activities? I know that we're sort of in the very beginning of high census time for you guys. How is it looking from your end?
You know, the census began last week, started on March 12th officially. In fact, the Census Bureau did a soft launch of the online portal at the beginning of last week, just a few days ahead of time. So we were kind of thrilled to see that. You know, the latest numbers we've seen from the Census Bureau and their release at the end of the week and over the weekend was that, you know, more than 5 million households had already responded online. So we're happy to see that. You know, the first day for most people to get their questionnaire was in the mail was on the 12th. And everyone should receive some type of invitation to respond in their mail no later than March 20th, which is, you know, this week. So we've seen a lot of activity from folks online, social media, and the buzz around, you know, people going to the mailbox and getting their invitation and completing it online. We know there are three ways in which you can complete the census. That's over the phone, and there are 13 toll-free numbers. And the reason there are 13 numbers is that there are 13 different languages in which including English, in which the census is provided in. And so there is a language, sort of a language for each number. And then there you can complete it via the mailed questionnaire. And then the third option would be to complete it online. And so we've been pushing people to, you know, choose one of those easy methods. Of course, if you choose one of those methods and you complete it, your chances of seeing someone knock at your door go down quite a bit. And so we're happy to see that folks are getting in line to ensure that they are being counted in the 2020 census.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it's gotten off to a really good start. I know where there are some other initiatives you mentioned last time that we wanted to follow up on. I was wondering if you could take us down that road for a little bit.
Yeah, so, you know, since we last spoke, we've kind of launched a more, you know, rapid to get out the count program at Fair Count. We brought on some additional staff, and we're happy to have staff in every corner of the state of Georgia. We've kind of expanded some of our national footprint as well. And so we're happy to be organizing in, you know, some of the hardest to count communities in the entire country. We, you know, started a bus tour, a statewide bus tour, just over a week ago, in fact, in Georgia. And we, you know, planned about 50 plus stops in tons of counties across the entire state of Georgia. We put that on hold, but for now, just, you know, till things kind of clear up with the pandemic, and we don't want to, of course, be, you know, going into communities and places are not operational. And so we're mindful of that, and we have adjusted that schedule and postponed the bus tour for now. But, you know, we were happy to visit a number of counties prior to postponing the bus tour, and the energy that we saw in some of rural Georgia around the census was very impactful. And so we're excited. And so now we're looking at how do we interact with folks through our digital resources, through our digital footprint, amid everything that's going on across the country. And being mindful that, you know, this is a very important piece of our government and democracy that will continue to go on even amongst everything else that's going on. I mean, you know, there are tons of conversations about whether or not the Census Bureau will extend their enumeration period. We can't bank on any of that. So we have to make sure that we're coming up with creative and innovative ways to continue to reach people, whether that be through social media, through email, online, webinar. We're switching a lot of our meetings, and larger events have been, you know, changed and switched to virtual functions. And so it's really good that we kind of had a little bit of that platform and structure in place already. So the pivot wasn't as bad for us. You know, one of the trainings we did in December We practiced with our organizers on what if there was a large sinkhole where the bus couldn't go in terms of the bus tour, and what would you do? We never envisioned something of this magnitude,
right,
that will come, you know, is essentially doing right at the peak time of the census. So we're with a bit of a curveball, we are, you know, adapting. Our organizers are, as we speak, talking to members of the community, grassroots leaders, grass tops, and figuring out what their needs are. How can we still disseminate material and information to them? How can we, you know, show the impact that the census will have, you know, regardless of what's going on? So it's kind of where we are as we speak, you know, but we're hopeful that we'll be able to continue a lot of the traditional methods of outreach that we had once this is behind us.
If the enumeration period does not get extended, how long do people have to fill out the census? I know that there's some follow-up plans in the works, but when does the follow-up period end? When is the last day?
Yeah, so July 31st is when the census is offline totally. So you have until July 31st to either mail in your questionnaire, do it via phone, or complete it online. That's the sort of the drop dead deadline for the census as we currently speak. You know, the traditional date for the in-person enumeration, that's when, you know, if you didn't respond via the mail, the phone, or online, you'd get a knock at the door. That was slated to start sort of at the end of April. They backed that up now to a little bit into May as to when they will start that process. So, you know, we are seeing some changes as it relates to, you know, how they're pivoting at the Census Bureau. We're also seeing changes on how college students are counted. For instance, we know a lot of the colleges and universities are you know, they're shutting down for the rest of the semester. Some just, you know, added on some time to the traditional spring break. So it just kind of varies depending on the state or the university, but the Census Bureau is kind of adapting and using some additional resources to make sure that they're adjusting operations as it relates to how college students are counted. We know that they're kind of part of what the Census Bureau considered a group quarters operation. In which typically what would happen is if they were living in on-campus housing, the administrators would have the option of counting them sort of as a group. Some universities it's slate to have the students do individual enumeration, but for the large part, a lot of the college and university did group enumeration. So they're figuring out now how to kind of respond with students being off campus and not local throughout this period of time. And so I know the Census Bureau is actively working through that.
Yeah, but I'm glad to hear that something like COVID-19 is not deterring you guys from doing the best you can under the circumstances. I think that's very encouraging.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't stop because, you know, often some of the communities in which we work in are the hardest to count communities, but there are also some of the communities that are hit the hardest by, you know, health concerns such as COVID-19. And so it makes the work that we're doing that much more impactful to ensure that, you know, they're being counted and the voices being heard.
Absolutely. And the infrastructure that you've already placed in those communities in terms of the Chromebooks that you mentioned in the last episode.
And so, you know, as it relates to those, and I don't know where we were in terms of how many locations we had installed in at when we last spoke, but we're up to 135 as of today. Our goal was 150. We were certainly going to reach our goal as of this week. We have, you know, kind of delayed the further issuance of those devices until things kind of are behind us here in the pandemic wise. But we sent out additional guidance to those 135 locations. You know, some of them, of course, are not going to be operational through this time. And so we certainly understand that and respect that. But for those that are operational and they still have people coming into their places of business or their places of worship, we want to ensure that the devices are, you know, they're creating a safe environment for them. So they're disinfecting them after each use and, you know, taking best practices that are, you know, slated by the CDC and also from Fair Count to ensure the safety of those that are using the devices. Now, we found that even before COVID-19 was on the scene, people were using these devices in a lot of different variations. For instance, we found some locations were using them to apply for state and federal benefits. They were using them to apply for the U.S. Census Bureau jobs. They were doing other job applications using the devices. We have some at after-school programs. Kids were using them for after-school programming, the kids that did not have the devices at home. And so that is certainly a challenge, even amid COVID-19, the kids that are having to do their homework or their lessons at home. And we're trying to figure out ways that at FairCount that we might be able to partner with some of these communities to provide some additional resources to further break that digital divide.
That's great. From a communications standpoint, I wanted to ask Lauren, I'm in communications myself. And so I wondered if your plans for your PR and your social media communications and any other public facing communications have changed given the status of the pandemic.
Absolutely. You know, everything from the fact that so much of our field operation and program operation was in person, and a lot of it will be moving online to communications and digital platforms, right? Also keeping in mind that COVID-19 coronavirus is the at the top of people's minds right now. And so often before you can talk to them about another topic, you have to assuage them about their initial concern. And so there are, as Ed was referencing with our internet installations, like there are other ways that we are indeed keeping in mind, like the way COVID-19 is impacting other people's lives, and it impacts the way we communicate with them as well.
Excellent.
Yeah, you know, it's simple. You know, we want people to know that the census is still safe. It's easy. I did mine at the end of last week. Proud to do it. Laughed and smiled through the entire thing. Took me less than 10 minutes to complete. I have a 3-person household. You know, if there are additional persons in the household, it will take a few minutes longer. But most people can complete it in under 10 minutes if you're doing it online. And so we want people to know that it's easy, it's simple, it's safe. And that is impactful. You know, it represents more than $1.9 trillion worth of resources for our communities on an annual basis. So we need to ensure that we're pressing that message. We need to press that there are three ways. A lot of people don't know about the phone option, that exists. And so for some people, we understand that's the best way and the easiest way. With so many scams that are going on, some people don't even look at their mail these days. Things get tossed to the side, even though the Census Bureau, the envelope in which it comes in, the documentation looks very official. But we know people are very leery sometimes of things coming in the mail. So the phone option is a good toll-free option to be able to call in, give your information over the phone, and get a confirmation number that you've completed it. You get the same confirmation number when you've completed it online. You don't get that type of confirmation number when you mail it in. It is a pre-stamped, pre-postage return envelope for those that are completing it by mail also. You know, we want people to ensure that they're getting it by, you know, middle of March, that March 20th deadline. You can also go to 2020census.gov. They have a very interactive map on the website under the resources tab in which you can go and actually find out when your area of the state or the country is slated to get that invitation in the mail. So if you haven't gotten it and you want to track it there, you can do so there. You can stay up to date at faircount.org. We provide resources on a regular basis through our website and through our platform. You can commit to being counted there, which will ensure that you stay tuned with a lot of the digital resources in which Lauren referenced that we will be pushing out throughout this process and also throughout the non-response follow-up period that begins in May.
Fantastic. And just to be clear, I want to make sure that I don't really need to wait for that mailing piece. I could just go online and complete my census without an invitation.
You absolutely could. So the invitation that comes in the mail, there's a 12-digit ID number that's unique to your household. Mm-hmm. What happens on the online portal, it asks you for that ID number. If you enter the ID, it pre-populates your address. There is an option on the front screen of that online portal where you do not need to input the 12-digit ID. The only additional step you'd have to do is to put in your address. You don't have to have that unique ID. So if you get the mailer, you lose it, you forget it, where it is, you can still go online and proactively do it without having that unique ID number. I'm glad you asked that question because it's a really important one.
I know my own history and I'm likely to overlook the entire mailing.
No. Well, we want to make sure you count it. So
exactly,
thank you.
Exactly. I'm sorry.
What about the phone number? Do you want to tell us what the phone number is if people would rather call in their for census?
Yeah, so I'm happy to give you the one that is slated in English. If you would like to call in to complete your census there, it is 1-844-330-2020. Again, that's 1-844-330-2020. And if you'd like it in English, if you'd like it in Spanish, it's available at 1-844-468-2020. Again, in Spanish at 844-468-2020. And it's also available in 11 other languages as well. And those can be found at the Census Bureau website at 2020census.gov. If you're completing it online, the link to the direct portal to be able to do it online is actually my2020census.gov. That's my2020census.gov. That takes you right to the front screen to be able to input your information and get counted.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yes. Is there anything else that that you'd like to add or talk about today?
I think that really covers it. You know, again, I'm happy to come back on at a later date. I think things are, you know, ever changing in this environment. And so we're happy to provide updates as we see it. We know that the Census Bureau later this month and into April will be able to interactively provide us with a map online of where households have responded and the sort of the rates in which they're coming in. And so a lot of our efforts, in the spring will be rapid response, looking at areas that maybe haven't had the highest number of returns in terms of questionnaires. So maybe, you know, I'm happy to come back on in the spring to talk a little bit about, you know, what that means for communities here in Georgia as it relates to, hard to count communities that maybe need to be, their rates need to be up a little higher.
I'm nodding. No one can see this, but yes, we would definitely look forward to that later in the spring. And I can't thank you and Lauren enough for taking the time just to check in with us and giving us an update.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us as always.
Thank you. Welcome. This has been another episode of the Inclusion Catalyst. Thank you as always for joining us. If you have a moment, please rate us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Your ratings actually make us more searchable and findable by other people who are interested in this subject matter. And thank you to the listener for joining us. We'll see you again with another episode in about a week.
And that's it for this episode of Inclusion Catalyst. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe and share with your friends and colleagues.